No, it's bad form to call anybody out in the sermon, but Belinda, you see, they know their Bible stories. Did you all hear it? Belinda and I and several others were talking at coffee hour today about whether or not Episcopalians by right know their Bible very well, and like a good champion of the faith, I jumped right in there and said, it's a fib. We know our Bible stories very well. We just know them in different ways. The very ending of today's reading from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians is not so familiar to us as a passage of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, but one of the many benedictions for morning and evening prayer, the correct response to which is Amen. And likewise, the stories that are across the other texts for today are for many, if not most of us, the fodder of children's Sunday school. Depending on what kind of tradition you grew up in, maybe they were the little felt pieces in the bag that were put up on the felt board. Maybe they were the contents of a godly play box. But for many in the church and many outside the church, the stories of the Old Testament and the stories of Jesus are individual pearls on a string to be encountered and to be interpreted almost in isolation. And so I don't think I'm alone when I look at this morning's gospel passage and think, wow, two stories in the same reading. Why would we waste so much ammunition? And as I look back over sermons I've preached in the last, 15 years or so, I noticed that in every single one of them, I addressed one story and not the other. Made a sermon about feeding or about walking on water. I wondered if I had missed something with these two familiar tales being put in such close proximity. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water appear exactly as they are in John's gospel in two other places in the gospel. They're like this in Matthew and they're like this in Mark. And this strange synopsis, these three gospel texts that aren't always in conversation with one another, should prick up our ears. Should suggest to us perhaps that maybe these two stories actually happened this way. Now there's a novel concept. Or it could signal, and it could signal, some deeper connection between the multiplication of loaves and fishes and Jesus' jog on a stormy sea of Galilee. What is the thread that holds these two pearls together? And what can we learn by laying them beside each other? I believe, at least this is going to be the subject of the rest of the sermon today, that these are two stories of need. Everyone in these stories, except perhaps Jesus, has a need. And they bring these needs before Jesus and they lay them before Jesus and Jesus meets those needs. Everyone in these stories have been called in some kind of way and are now hashing out what it means to be in the community of Jesus as he goes along his way. St. John opens his text today, or our text today, saying that the crowd followed Jesus because they saw signs. But the crowd are not alone in this story. The disciples are there too. The disciples, St. John reminds us, follow Jesus because they are called. The crowd is looking for something, and as the day wears on, their need becomes obvious. They are looking for food. The disciples, later in the story, express their need, a need for security, a need for Jesus' presence. And so, as we would expect from Jesus, ever compassionate, ever powerful, Jesus responds to the needs, each in their kind. Jesus makes food for them. From the meager gift of a member of the crowd, Jesus creates an overabundance. He satisfies needs and more besides. And in the midst of the storm on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus reassures his disciples that he is with them and will see them through to their journey's end. And so I believe the first thing to do with respect to today's text is to ask the question of ourselves, those of us who find ourselves in the community of the faithful today. Why are you here? Why do you follow Jesus? Have you seen signs? Have you been called? And in following Jesus, what do you need? What has brought you into this community today, and what will you bring before Jesus today? Do you need food? Do you need the security of Jesus' presence? Food. Presence. Jesus' response to the calls and Jesus' response to the needs within this text have become such important concepts for us. The food, the presence, the food that is also presence, the Eucharist. Maybe these are Eucharistic texts. Now, that may be an overly simplistic answer. Several commentators on this week's text warn excited preachers not to jump too quickly to the Eucharist. We have several more weeks of bread talk plus Palm Sunday before we actually get there. And so I would say, let's have the courage to stay with ourselves for a few minutes and see it through this myth and storm. Why do we follow? What do we need? Have we seen signs? Do we need reassurance? Cannot we easily map our lives onto the characters of this story? Yes, perhaps. But for many of us, our lives are more complex, more subtle. For many of us, we don't need food or simple reassurance. Don't worry. Turns out the characters in the story are more nuanced than we give them credit for as well. Each in their own way. Philip needs data. Philip, ever suspicious, knows Jesus is testing him. He needs the count. 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 people. Yep, not going to do it. It would take 6 months of wages, Jesus. Andrew, perhaps, brother of Simon Peter, needs to be right. Oh, Jesus, look, I found this boy. He has things. You can use them. Look at me. Look at me. The crowd, it seems, needs more than just food. Yes, food, but also a tradition. It was the Passover for the Jews, which mattered not for them. They were on the other side of the lake, it seems. Or at least they weren't preparing for their own Passover, so Jesus gives them a different Passover. And let's not forget that some of the disciples in that boat, in that wind, simply needed to be out of the storm. Life had gotten too real. Everyone who came after Jesus needed something. And as far as we can tell, Jesus met every need. To the hungry, he gave an abundance of food. Food seemingly drawn from the depth of his tradition. To the skeptical, he gave answers. To the scared, he gave reassurance. To those who needed his companionship, he joined them in the boat. this text is about so much more than simply the Eucharist. It is about who Jesus is and who he can be for you. So, my friends, come today not only to this Eucharistic table, but come to this hillside, come to this boat. Come if you have seen signs or if you need to be fed. Come if you are fearful or frightened or simply in need of companionship and Jesus's compassion. Come. Or don't. For Jesus will always meet you where you are. Jesus will meet your needs.